Well, it certainly is fall now, isn't it?
It is fall. Things are falling down. Leaves are falling down.
Yeah. I don't really get the change of seasons when they aren't horribly obvious sometimes.
Oh, you Chicagoan.
Well, yeah, you know, needing a jet engine to clear out all the snow, which is a thing that happens sometimes. I don't know about you.
No.
Nope.
Washington native.
Yeah.
We just kind of gradually move from one thing to the other, unless we don't, because sometimes it's sunny and then hailing in the same 20-minute period.
Yeah, that's weird, because you guys occasionally get snow, and it's like no snow at all, and then 1,800 pounds of snow, and everybody dies.
2 feet of snow.
Yeah, and then suddenly it's fine.
Sometimes in October we'll get 2 feet of snow, but it was 60 degrees up until the middle of this week in western Washington.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
You listen to Ask an Atheist with 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. My name is Sam. Joining me, as usual, although after a slight break, is Becky. How are you?
It's great to be back. I can articulate through my face. I am no longer supine, bedridden. It's wonderful to be back in front of the mic.
Yeah, no longer popping pain pills like they're going to nuke the pain pill plant.
Yeah, it's, you know, having a tooth thing is an ordeal. And I think that the Ask an Atheist crew last week got an earful and eyeful of my lovely post-op face. And yeah.
Any surgery where they have to send out for parts is not a fun surgery.
No, generally not.
And Jeremy, how are you today?
I am totes YOLO. Thanks for asking.
You really?
Yeah, I said that.
You're going to do that on my show?
Whoa. Am I banished?
You're over 30. I don't think you're allowed to have that in your vocabulary.
Don't you need a license to talk like that when you're over 30? Or
this is America. I will YOLO anywhere I want, up to and including a school board meeting or the middle part of a football game.
So we have a news story. This one it takes place in Bogota, Colombia. So, Becky, just so that I don't mangle everything, why don't you read it for us?
Sure. Catholic parishioners in Bogota, Colombia clashed last week with demonstrators from the Atheist Association of Bogota. The atheist group gathered with signs declaring secularist messages like no church above the law to peacefully protest a Catholic mass being held in a neighborhood park, despite codes prohibiting religious services in such public places. Religious attendees at first verbally confronted the demonstrators, but escalated into pushing and attempts to destroy the banners and cell phones that were recording the demonstration. Fernan Rodriguez, spokesman for the Bogota Corporation for the Advancement of Reason and Secularism, denied priest Jesus Hernan Orjuela's claims that demonstrators had been the aggressors, provoking the faithful by disrupting the service.
So, disrupting the service where it wasn't supposed to be, By protesting the fact that the service is where it wasn't supposed to be.
Yes.
I think I know where the problem is.
This is an abusive philosophy of they made us hit them.
Yeah, pretty much is, isn't it? Yeah.
So this is actually super interesting for me. There's a big YouTube feed of all the cell phone videos that did get recorded and didn't get smashed and thrown out of people's hands of the atheist demonstrators. And here's the thing. You know, there are churches that are pretty prevalent all over South America. I mean, there's sort of a 500-year history of the Catholic Church having a stranglehold on South America.
Yeah.
It's not like Bogota is want for edifices in which to hold your mass. So this setup is in a public park with the whole, you know, big plastic chairs, the stage, the big speaker projectors, and it's a public park. It's open to people. And so the atheist group gathered and they've got, you know, either this big printout banner, some homemade ones with flying spaghetti monsters. And you can just see this is a public space. This is not a space limited for, you know.
No, the church was literally breaking the law.
Yeah.
In this instance.
Absolutely.
By Colombia law, as far as I understand it. Which, yeah.
That is my understanding as well.
Yeah.
I don't understand going after phone cameras in 2015 anywhere on the planet. It just makes it very, in this age of, you know, the panopticon mutually assured surveillance environment that we live in, all that means is that other cameras are going to pick it up and make it very clear that what you're doing is wrong.
Yes.
Or
yes.
That you know what you're doing is wrong. So you can't go in and say, oh, I was just moved by God. I wasn't trying to, yeah. Oh, yeah, hiding evidence? Yeah, the Lord told me to hide evidence.
I think one of the most, blatant displays of the contrast between the churchgoers, the faithful that are sitting there getting all up in the atheist face, and the secularist demonstrators is when the shoving happens, when the grabs at, you know, trying to crumple your banner happen, and the atheist will say, in very audible, you know, it's very audible in the videos, ¿Dónde está la paz de Dios? Which is, where is the peace of your God? Where is this peaceful God of which you speak?
Yeah.
Perhaps they weren't studying that part of the book that day.
I don't know. But
probably one of those other parts that involves stoning things, I'm thinking.
And the Catholics love to say, peace be upon you, but they also have a history of, if you won't let them put peace upon you, they will take your teeth out.
The peace will be physically foisted upon you.
Yeah.
What's really sort of buoying to me at this point is that you have not only one, but two different associations of secularists, freethinkers, atheists in a place like Colombia. And it's you know, people are saying, okay, the Catholic Church has less of a hold on South America. There's more, you know, huge growth in testigos, which is the Jehovah's Witnesses, in charismatic evangelical Christianity, in all sorts of different Protestant sects, but you also have growth in South America, in Latin America.
I have a theory on this.
In free thought.
Not a scientific theory, so hold the emails on that. But I have a theory that the reason the Catholic Church is pouring so much attention into South America and Africa is because the information age is making it impossible to continue their stronghold in other places, like America, where they don't almost ever talk about birth control and things like that.
Right.
But they very much... places that I would think of as a little bit less sophisticated, like certain parts of Africa and stuff, they direct a lot of attention there. And I think it's because they need these emerging markets to kind of make up the gap that they're losing when Ireland is basically putting them out the door and things like that.
Yeah.
They kind of need that. I mean, I don't think it's entirely based on that idea, but I think subconsciously
it is.
And that's just way off base to our story. I'm sorry.
No, it also has directions that we would not appreciate or not expect, which is, there is a significant egress of people in South America from the Catholic Church, but they're not becoming secularists. They're mostly becoming evangelicals.
It is. And it is in that case, in that way. But I would argue that in places that sometimes we in the United States think of as less sophisticated, Sam, as you said, sort of the Panopticon mutually assured surveillance state that we are in sort of globally exists in many places that are thought of as remote. And many times you have phone service where there's no, you know, wired computers, and you have tremendous sharing of knowledge and of media. And so here's the thing also, you have people that have, you know, recently in the last 30 years gotten vast access to media outside of your own local area. And that is a way to reach people through that marketing.
I should be clear that I don't think of South America as just a giant continent full of people leading meals around with coffee on their back. But I do think the information age is being adopted more slowly there, and there are a lot more remote parts of it that are populated than you would find in continental U.S.
I've driven through Wyoming.
Having driven through Wyoming and northern Chile, there are some similarities.
So probably not so much in the hats department, though.
Actually, no. It's kind of that dusty cowboy kind of look. Yeah.
Staying in the hemisphere, but going north instead of south. You got Canadian friends got a new...
Trudeau,
prime minister,
right?
Yeah, are they going to close the Office of Religious Supremacy or whatever it's called? You think?
I don't know.
What is it called?
A few years back, we actually sort of looked at the office, not quite of religious supremacy, but it was a Harper installation where there was going to be someone in working in diplomacy to look at religious persecution abroad. So looking at upping Canadian visibility in terms of sort of the global stage. And, you know, looking at the plight of maybe Christians in Pakistan that are accused of blasphemy, mm-hmm. or, Christians in China that are unable to practice their particular thing, mm-hmm. or the Muslim Uyghurs in China that are unable to practice their faith. But looking at, are you going to do anything for atheists that are being, you know, lashed and jailed and beaten? And we're not going to do anything like that. So I don't know. Are you hoping that maybe it'll be on the upswing?
I'm hoping that goes away, because you don't need an office of religious anything in a secular state. You can let the religions handle that. It's not like they're unorganized.
It's a human rights issue, not a religious issue.
Yeah, let HRC handle this. Yeah.
They should be allowed to be Muslim in a peaceful way and not have to worry about being caned for it, I believe.
And
an atheist should get the same rights as them.
Right. That's a very good point. I think making it, instead of calling it religion, calling it human rights, because that's what it is.
Magic out of my laws.
Yeah, pretty much.
Laws, Canada.
Well, that's not actually the story I wanted to talk about, but it is incredibly interesting. But a Canadian judge ruled that two Jehovah's Witnesses are not permitted to proselytize to their grandchild without the girl's mother's permission. The couple, who are the girl's grandparents on her father's side, sued for unsupervised access to their granddaughter after their mother refused them access. The mother complained that the couple took the girl to Kingdom Hall against the mother's expressed wishes. The judge ruled that the grandparents would only be allowed supervised visits to the girl. The couple's son was disfellowshipped from the witnesses and has no contact with his parents.
Oh, man. We know what that disfellowshipping does.
Yeah, we've talked about that pretty extensively on the show.
But then to prey upon your grandchildren without having, you know, contact with that son?
Any contact with the son through it without the parents' permission if they've been disfellowshipped?
Well, they're clearly doing it through the daughter who may not have been a witness and therefore is they can talk to. I mean, I've seen that.
That is a weird loophole.
Yeah, when I've had people, you know, in my house who were in trouble with the church where they would talk to me, the atheist demon whatever, but they wouldn't talk to their own child. It was very strange.
Yep. So this is actually, I think, really quite interesting because you have someone that's a blood family member that's being barred from, no, you're not the custodial parent, and no, you don't have blanket right to proselytize to not even your family members. I mean, you wouldn't be able to do this to an unrelated child to just take them
kidnap
to your church.
Them and take them to church.
Right. And nor are you allowed to do that despite them being your grandchild.
I'd like to call this story "Keep a Knocking, but You Can't Come In."
Well done. I like that song. I don't. This is crazy. You don't talk to your parents, or you don't. Your parents don't talk to you, but they're gonna like
prey upon your kid.
That's the thing, though. They don't see it as preying upon the child. They see it as saving the child's eternal soul. But still, too bad you're involving magic again, and you don't get...
Well, one, they're involving magic. Two, they don't see this as preying upon. Look at the tactics they're using. They're using judicial... They're using judicial bullying. They're going behind people's backs. They're doing everything short of kidnapping. How do they not see this as... You know, maybe we're on the right side of God.
Of indoctrination by a group of insane people.
And
thinking that this child will burn in hell for all eternity. They see it as doing the right thing.
I'm not saying they don't see it as doing the right thing.
They should see it as preying upon someone, because they are.
Because what I'm saying is...
program a child.
I'm saying it's a little bit more complex than that. They're not... Mm-hmm. That people generally aren't completely programmed. They're only... This is where the cognitive dissonance comes in.
Oh, yeah.
Where there's...
Some,
yeah, where you've got
mental
the...
mental gymnastics.
The two things going on. It's saving the soul of the child, but also I'm pretending like I'm selling her into white slavery or something like that. This is the part of the equation. This is where the brainwashing happens, where I don't know how that works. I don't know how people get there.
This is where you try and pick apart fundamentalist thinking, and there's a problem when you're arguing with a truly insane person that you become insane yourself as you try and understand their thought process. I don't think we could actually understand the grandparents' thought process, because it is going to be a bunch of spaghetti thrown at the wall. You're going to say, don't say something like that's impossible. I'm going to say that it's so alien, especially since you weren't raised in a fundamentalist way. The thinking is just so weird and bizarre.
But
such a strange set of rationale.
I spend a fair amount of time trying to figure out how folks like this think so that I can talk to them in a way where I'm not instantly a threat.
Condescending
or instantly a threat. Mm. Yeah, all of that. I'm trying to avoid all of that. And these are like the edge cases where I just literally don't know how to speak to this at all. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. We're going to go to a break, and then we're going to answer some emails and maybe talk a funny. Another thing that I don't quite get, maybe.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
If you are a humanist, atheist, or freethinker from Everett, Washington to the Canadian border, Humanists of North Puget Sound welcomes you. Your freethought neighbors to the north have been promoting secular ideas for over 20 years. They're humanists, with a rational worldview, informed by science, inspired by art, and motivated by compassion. Join up for monthly conversation, camaraderie, and activism. Humanists of North Puget Sound. Visit humanistsnps.org.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Dorn, and we want to ask you an important question.
Are you sick and tired of other panel discussion shows wasting your time droning on and on about foreign policy, economics, and human rights?
Or do you want to hear conversations about things that actually matter?
We host a podcast called Radio Versus the Martians. Every month, we gather a panel of our nation's finest minds and plunge a rusty prison shank into the heart of tough questions that have an impact on the lives of real people like you.
Like, are drivers required to pull over for the Ghostbusters?
Is the United Federation of Planets actually an oppressive dictatorship run by guidance counselors?
Is Arnold Schwarzenegger secretly a genius?
And are we being mean when we laugh at movies that are so bad they're good?
So write your congressman and let them know that Radio vs. the Martians is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and on RadioVersusTheMartians.com.
Ask an Atheist may have gone on the road, but we're not making big bucks.
We still need to keep the lights on, and 95% of our costs are for airtime alone.
That's why we need your contributions.
If you've got something to advertise, consider Ask an Atheist in your ad budget.
Our listener Peggy said it best. Step up and contribute to keep secular voices on the air. For $5, you could have a latte or a moment of science.
Take on Peggy's challenge and contribute today.
For details, go to AskAnAtheist.tv or contribute directly via PayPal to PayPal@AskAnAtheist.tv.
If you enjoy the programming we create on Ask an Atheist, please make a contribution with us. Your sponsorship keeps our show on the air and improves the quality of our broadcasts. Don't make us beg. Please go to AskAnAtheist.tv and contribute today.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. That is toll-free, nationwide anyway. Worldwide maybe someday. Worldwide if you have Google Voice, perhaps. I don't know how that works. But I have a person to thank. I'd like to thank Charlie from Seattle for meeting Peggy's challenge. Peggy's challenge is listeners to Ask an Atheist to help keep us on the air. Every dollar you give us goes directly towards show production and helps us keep the lights on. You can go to askanatheist.tv, click on the yellow button on the right-hand side. It will take you directly to our PayPal page. And also, I don't know if you've been listening to the advertising breaks this time, but if you got anything to advertise, now would be the time to contact us. Perhaps.
Or if you know an organization that might want to advertise.
Yeah, that would be good. Yeah, so, because we do have costs associated with the show, and we want to keep going, right?
We definitely do, and it's always lovely to hear from people local. Charlie in Seattle, awesome to hear from you. We definitely appreciate our contributors from all over the world, all of our listeners from South America.
Absolutely.
Including
the very sophisticated South America.
So we have a couple emails. The first one is a fairly quick one. This is Taylor from Seattle, who writes, "I was listening on podcasts in 4-hour increments while I was on watch in the Navy, a shining beacon of reason in an ocean of stupidity. I've been out since June, and I've moved up here for materials engineering at U of W." Materials engineering. I might have some questions for you later on. Thank you very much. That's a heck of a compliment right there, I think.
It is. And, you know, I'm glad that that you were able to listen to us. And, in the midst of hearing of so many folks that are deployed in the military that are unable to actually have their secularist humanist groups and things like that, it's nice knowing that we can be reaching out to our service members that are deployed.
I try not to read too many, hey, you guys are great emails on the air. But it's emails like this that honestly keep me going a lot of the time.
It really does make you happy when someone who, I mean, being in the Navy is not an easy job.
No.
Being on a boat.
No. Nope.
Even if you're surrounded by people you really like. But if you are surrounded by people who don't think the same way as you, to have a podcast or a radio show, one of the best things about this information age is no matter where you go, if you have your phone with you, you can kind of have friends along with you.
Yeah.
And expand your horizons in great ways. So it's good to hear that that's happening.
Speaking of friends, does ocean count as a pun in this case?
Not sure.
All right, let that one go. Dan's not here, so it's okay. That's not the end of the email, though. He also writes, I just want to know, what the crapola is the Nyan Puffin hiding?
Referring to our webpage, askanatheist.tv.
I don't remember anymore.
Yes.
We had some plans back in 2000. I think it was 2012 when I did that design. And we were going to go in some direction, but then a lot of things changed. New shows started. Do you remember? I don't remember.
The puffin's there. The puffin's there just, you know, in your ocean of stupidity to reach out to you and say, hey, you can listen to Atheist.
I got to replace that with something at some point. I'm actually in the middle of redesigning the website. Well, trying to get somebody with some graphic design skill to redesign the website, because we have this new logo that's everywhere except on our webpage, which is really confusing. But, you know, what are you going to do? It's a round logo. Everything on that page is square. I don't know where to go from there.
Yep.
So if you have some graphic design skills, go ahead and drop us an email.
Oh, yeah, that too. Donate that. So you have another email. This is Jonathan Ariello from Utah. How you doing? And he writes, this is a continuing conversation from last week about whether or not I would accept money from religious groups for the show. I think taking religious groups' money is like an atheist paying to enter the creationist museums.
I love the scare quotes around museums.
That is, from their perspective, an atheist buying a ticket is a chance to twist some minds their way and use the money to do so. So why not take some woo-woo bucks? Just don't alienate your base listeners. How to do that? No idea. And I think you and I are in the same boat on that one.
Beating down our door to advertise on our program?
No, I've never received a religious group saying. The closest we got was it was years ago, but then people would just buy time around us.
Yeah.
And they didn't want to give the money directly to us. Because
launch a show against us.
Yeah, that's basically, hey, Satan, have a 20 so that I can yell at you. That's not, I can't see them really doing that, but I could if somebody on their side had my sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
Like I might advertise on a religious show if religious advertising was available. Like if I could do a commercial on the 700 Club, do you think I'd get a yeah,
I'd donate blood every week for the rest of my life to fund.
I think you need to have a little more time between blood donations in order to sustain your health. Otherwise, your life is not going to be too long, Jeremy.
Nope. $60 once every 2 weeks, sell your plasma.
I've always had some weird ideas about how I wanted to promote the show. That commercial on a religious show would be fantastic. Another one is I've always wanted to sponsor a Little League team. Can you imagine, like, the A's of, you know, like, if they had the A's uniform, and on the back it said, you know, ask an atheist, blah, blah, blah. Because I did Little League when I was a kid.
I think due to the exchange rate, it's probably more economical if we sponsor a Little League team in Colombia.
No. Those things are big money.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Yep, that's where we get a lot of our awesome players is from the Caribbean and northern parts of South America. So instead of, you know, the local hardware store or the local, drugstore or something sponsoring your Little League team.
It's the cartel.
No, not the cartel. Certainly not the atheist cartel.
We love you, South America.
Yeah. So I guess this is the Jeremy makes fun of the entirety of South America episode. Is that how this is going?
No, please not have it be that.
Oh, that's okay. Sort of like the episode that I had to apologize to the entire Czech Republic and Czech people.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Does South America have an anthem? I don't know, because that's how I fixed it last time.
I don't know.
Anyway.
I'm pretty sure it doesn't, actually, because it's a continent, not a country.
I know. A candidate for mayor of Toledo spoke in tongues and promised that God would visit destruction on the city if she wasn't elected. Opal Covey is running for the position for the fifth time and claims that she was robbed of the election in the past by government corruption. Covey was being interviewed by a local reporter who asked if she had anything she would like to add when she started speaking in tongues. When she started speaking in tongues and then said God would visit their great destruction. I'm not going to read the whole thing because you really got to hear it. Mm. It's amazing. I have the clip around here. Yeah.
Got a clip? This is...
I love how it was framed within the local newscast as well. I mean, it's like to be a journalist and then to have to...
Well, that's in the clip. So
sort of react.
Let's play it.
Yeah, they play it straight.
Oh, crap. Sorry.
Not Opal Covey.
Wrong one.
I was speaking in tongues, though.
Yes, it was. Okay. Here we go.
Prior to our interview ending, I asked Covey, as is customary, if there is anything else she would like to add. After pausing, she offered this.
Great destruction will come upon Pipapahashataya, Kulia Simahayanda, Holy Adia, Kiko Kulia Nasai, Yema Sandala Didi, I see Koshantala Lolosi, Yema Sandala Didi, I see Koshantaya. Thank you, Jesus. That was a confirmation. If people don't give me what I earned in 2013 back, and I'm not on that seat in November, then you'll see God coming and visiting the city in the greatest destruction you've ever seen.
Tonight at 11, Kobe expands on the issues and her plan for the city.
I think her plan for the city is very clear. She wants it to burn in fire.
I want to see the 11 o'clock interview.
Yes,
what a big part of her platform is fixing potholes.
Yeah.
God has chosen me to fix the potholes in your city, or he will make of your city one giant pothole.
Yeah, it's a three-tiered platform. It's a very simple platform. Mm-hmm. Fix potholes, build roller coasters, vote for me or burn.
There's Pat Robertson runs for president quite a bit, or he used to.
He used to, yeah.
Bill Hicks, great stand-up comedian Bill Hicks, used to have a line on that where he goes, oh, God told Pat Robertson to run for president. That really bothered me until I realized that God didn't tell me to vote for him.
Very good. I don't know if God is speaking to the people of Toledo to not vote for Opal Covey, but I am incredibly impressed by the NBC 24 anchors.
They did handle that very well. I mean, you could tell that they really...
I like to fantasize that it was a... Like, no one had told them that was the copy they were reading that day, just to see if they could pull it off.
You guys have done that to me.
The story, the whole newscast, it appears that it led the entire newscast. It's
yeah.
an update. And I don't know a lot about speaking in tongues because I've never done it or been in a church where it's happened, but she started speaking in tongues mid-word.
Yeah, this is one of the things. There's two things I wanted to talk about, and one of the most important things is she was saying upon, and then she goes up, papaya, whatever, yeah. whatever. She speaks in tongues like jazz improvisation.
Jesus interrupted her.
Yeah, but she makes a mistake, and then she just, all right, for a minute, just for a minute, I'm going to assume that Jesus isn't actually talking to her, if that's okay with you.
Mm-hmm. Is that all right? That's okay
I'll
with me.
It.
Okay, all right, so she's going, Jesus will come up. So she made so she was, I think she stuttered and just said, whatever, I'm going with it, and just went into her business, which in jazz improvisation, if you make a mistake,
you just scat some more around.
You roll with it. Yeah, that's exactly how that works. Is that how speaking in tongues works in this case, I guess?
I you know what? I think the three of us are
speaking
uniquely
tongues,
unqualified to judge that. But
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say it's like making a burrito. You can do it any way you want. As long as
just
it includes
don't make
a flour tortilla on the outside.
And don't make anybody
it's
else
all
eat
about
it.
The wrapper.
Yeah. Honestly, I think I might get something about this. Just a little bit. Because when I was a kid, when I was a teenager, I used to just scribble however language, whatever. I just scribble on a piece of paper, and I would look for a structure in it just because I wanted to see what would happen. And I kind of wonder if this is related to that. Just I had the writing version.
I am unfamiliar with this teenage practice of yours, Sam. So you're saying that you're just kind of like interested in what would happen if you would scribble and see if you can spot patterns?
Yeah.
Kind of like free writing, but without using words, basically?
Basically, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that... I mean, I didn't think that I was being visited by God.
Yeah, that'd be alarming if you started doing it mid-sentence during an interview or a term paper. That would be cause for alarm.
I don't know that she's looking for patterns to say that was a confirmation from Jesus. I mean, could someone who speaks in tongues then listen to a recording of themselves and interpret what they had actually heard, what message had been delivered upon them?
There was a friend of ours who was actually converted away from religion specifically because he did that.
He did his own deconversion, the way I understand it.
Yeah.
Trying to find a pattern in the... we have a few linguists associated with the show. And,
just a few.
This comes up quite often around drinks that makes no sense from a linguistic standpoint.
No.
This
well,
sort of thing.
Also, apparently, glossolalia, which is what this is called, right?
Yeah.
Has accents... And languages, like if you speak English and you do this glossolalia thing, you tend to sound a specific way.
Oh, really?
Where, if you speak Spanish and you do this, it sounds very different because you have a different set of phonemes built into your head.
The whole speaking in tongues thing, it just is confusing to me, because if God wants to talk to you or through you, why add a layer of abstraction to that process?
Yeah. Why not just go the Edward Case route and just tell, just or Ramtha, and just say, hey, God says, rate, give me money.
I do not think she will win this election.
So it'll be stolen from her yet again.
It will be stolen from her. So I think we're going to put to the test whether or not she is actually channeling God if Toledo is not wiped off the face of the earth with an asteroid in the next, you know, whenever this election is. Then I think we're going to have to say that she's not channeling God.
Okay. Shall we?
I'm willing to go out on that limb.
Shall we make that a regular? Shall we follow the Toledo mayoral race?
Yeah, and, let's throw a party when it doesn't happen again.
Actually, if you live in the Toledo area, I'd love one of her campaign buttons.
Let's call this story Holy Toledo.
Holy Toledo! I love
it. It's a match. Keep a knocking, but you can't come in.
I love this stuff. Seriously, this is why I like talking about religious stuff sometimes, because it's just crazy.
What would happen if Opal wanted to air a campaign ad on Ask an Atheist? Maybe we should reach out to Prophetess Opal.
We can just make the ad for her. I've got a copy of I'm a Scat Man.
Tell you what, if you hear this, Opal, and you want us to run advertising for you on the show, I'll give you a couple for free. All right, just to get that. Also, campaign button. I'd love a campaign button. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. Politics is great, especially when it's that kind of politics. I don't know about you.
Indeed.
Maybe that's why I like North Korea politics so much, because it's basically that without the weird parts. It's just, vote for me or I will burn your country, because I can.
Well, except that there's actually people starving and oppressed. Camps. Yes.
Yeah, that's... At this point, I was wondering if I could...
Well, if you want hilarious politics, you're going to have to break a few eggs.
Yeah. I was wondering if I could skip my standard include for that one.
I couldn't.
Ask an Atheist does not endorse the actions of the North Korean government.
Not at all. Absolutely. So, we've been keeping a conversation about movies. We talked about it, 3 or 4 weeks ago now, I think?
Yeah, and revisited it last week.
And we keep getting emails about this, so we thought we would talk about it a little bit more. But first, you wanted to talk about the movie we talked about last week, which was The Ledge.
Yeah, we had an email about that and recommending it. And interestingly, I have not seen The Ledge, and I don't think anyone at this table has seen The Ledge.
Nope.
And I remember when it came out being a little skeptical of it, thinking it was something that I felt was kind of a propaganda, not even propaganda, but trying to cash in on the upswing in the atheist visibility and movement throughout the country, and just kind of ignored it. And we got this email, and I looked at it, and I go, I should watch Ledge before the show, which I did not manage to do, but I popped in the trailer, and I am looking at it with 4 years older eyes now. I don't feel like that at all, actually. I think it probably is always interesting to me, just that little piece of my thought process. Because we initially had said that we thought maybe on-the-nose atheist protagonist movie would be a bad idea.
Right.
This looks actually pretty well constructed, and I might have to reverse myself on that. I might have to have some flexibility in my thinking.
So I'm thinking maybe we should be watching it sometime soon and see how it goes.
A little viewing party or something.
I think that may happen.
Yeah. Movies are a great place to explore different themes. And if one of the current themes, whether it's faddish or not, cashing in on it, is increased numbers of people thinking about moving away from religion and what does your life mean when you don't have God? What does it mean to, think about being in danger, in mortal danger and your care for other people? If people are thinking about that, why not make a film about it?
Mm-hmm.
What does current mean?
Oh, faddish. Yes.
So current? Is that what you're saying?
I am.
In vogue.
In vogue. Yes.
Sorry, I thought maybe we were talking about like those little raisin things all of a sudden.
No.
Okay. Well, we have some movies. This is Duke from New York who writes, I wanted to tell you about my favorite atheist humanism film. It might be a bit of a strange choice, but I think it works when you think about it. The movie is It's a Wonderful Life. That's a Frank Capra movie from the 50s, I think? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Now, yes, I know the movie has angels in it, sure, but that doesn't mean the work itself isn't humanistic or even atheistic. Consider what happens when George Bailey loses all of the money from the building and loan and wants to commit suicide, when he meets Clarence and sees what Bedford Falls would have been like without him. Sure, the angels use magic to teach him a lesson, lesson, but that lesson is you are important because of the positive effects you have had on the people around you. George avoids going to prison not because the angels create gold from nothing. Clarence does absolutely nothing to actually help George's real problem. It's his wife Mary who calls everyone in town and everyone in George's life and the people who pay off Mr. Potter. In the end, the only thing Clarence does for George is give him a terrifying nightmare that shows him he can't rely on anything to help him except his fellow man. That
the characterization of that at the very end, a little startling, but
I have not seen that movie, but I don't, it's a terrifying nightmare.
I like it. I
think this is a good example of every piece of fiction, you can take from it what you will.
Right.
Up to and including the Bible. Because I would not get this from this movie. I do not think. I've not seen this movie ever in my life. But from what I know about it, I would not go, that is a humanist screed. But if that's what you find in it, and it doesn't make you punch anyone else in the face or stop them cell phone taping you in a park in Columbia, then that's fine.
So I have seen It's a Wonderful Life. I think probably no fewer than about 15 times over the course of my life.
Is it a movie about a terrifying nightmare? That seems... contradictory to the title.
That is the high point of the movie.
It's like a Christmas Carol kind of homage, you know, Scrooge seeing, you know, taking accounting of his life and things like that.
And it's totally presented as a deus ex machina. I mean, it's literally the angels come down and fix it for him. Except Duke's interpretation of the movie here, 80% of it is just a factual retelling of what happens in the movie.
Yeah.
He's absolutely right. That is exactly what happens in the movie.
It's kind of the original Kickstarter campaign. They, you know, like Mary launches a GoFundMe and says, we got to help him pay off Mr. Potter.
Yeah.
And so he can sort of then start anew with a fresh perspective on his life. I'm with you also, Jeremy, in that sometimes we have pieces of fiction that resonate with people in different ways. And if something resonates with you, you're going to link it to the philosophy that you are most adhered to.
I'm not disagreeing with that at all. I think you are spot on with that. But the fact that the only like actual twist on this is at the very end where he explains, you know, well, no, he didn't actually do anything. So it's humans solving human problems. Isn't that humanist?
So the idea being that he had a nightmare, but no matter nightmare or not, as long as he didn't kill himself, everything was going to work out already.
Yeah.
Because the people of the community were going to take care of him.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah, that Clarence may not actually exist.
I think
which seems to be a running theme for Jimmy Stewart, now that I think about it.
I guess so.
So this is a Christmas Fight Club type of movie.
Christmas Fight Club.
The angel is Tyler Durden.
My goodness. That would be the terrifying nightmare. You know, I think that it does probably get overlooked as possibly, you know, suggestive of humanistic philosophy because it is a Christmas movie. But it also speaks to the fact that, hey, a lot of the things that are celebrated as inherently part of Christmas and therefore by extension inherently part of Christian religion or Catholic religion are very sort of universal values.
Mm-hmm.
As we look some of those things, you know, the relying on other people and trying to look at things with a different perspective and coming together as a family and a community. I mean, the fact that those are the values that are in an ostensibly, you know, Christmassy movie.
Yeah.
You know.
Bah humbug, you knobs.
Bah humbug. Sorry about that. I'm starting Christmas super early. It's not even Halloween.
What? I want to talk about this. The Christmas decorations are already in the stores. Halloween hasn't happened yet.
Trump's already talking about Christmas. He said if he's president, everyone in every store is going to say Merry Christmas.
Is he
going
to individually pay everyone in every store to say Merry Christmas? Because I'll do that.
Trump is running for the dictatorship of a different country and just hasn't been. You're not allowed to do that as president of the United States.
It's me, yeah. Him and Dennis Rodman are going to head off to North
Donald
Korea.
Trump and his thought police are coming to a store near you to make the Muslim girl at the Walmart tell you Merry Christmas. I don't think so, Donald Trump.
Yeah, I don't like where that's going.
Nope, not at all.
I don't like Christmas.
Yes.
I don't. I am that guy. I am the atheist who says, yeah, bah humbug, whatever.
We're Thanksgiving folks.
I am definitely a Thanksgiving person, even though...
I love the family and food aspect of Christmas.
I
do not like the maxing out my credit cards aspect.
Yeah,
Christmas.
That's the thing is I've said this before, but we're getting there, so I gotta say it again. It's the pressure of giving gifts is easy, receiving gifts is hard. There's a lot of social pressure.
Oh yeah, you have to pretend you like the ugly sweater.
Yeah, or even if I do like it, if like sometimes somebody
Maybe
gets
dark
me.
Overlord Trump could pass a law that would make it so you didn't have to act like you like it.
Right, that's true. but sometimes I get a gift that is exceptionally what I want. It's exactly what I want. And now I feel like there is nothing I can give them that communicates that that I know them as well as they know me in this moment. It's like, wow, I am now permanently in debt.
Oh, take them a Chili's gift card. Nothing says thought process like a gift card.
Not to mention that I'm also economically in debt because I'm buying a lot of gifts. I'm not discounting that. But there's just this huge social pressure, and you have to meet up with your family. And if your family is kind of weird in some ways, it exacerbates it because you've got all this pressure. It's just a lot of stuff going on. Where Thanksgiving, you have the getting together, you have the eating, you have the family component of it.
You have the gratitude and appreciation.
The gratitude and appreciation.
And if you don't want to help, you can just mess something up in the kitchen and be forcibly removed from helping at all.
Right. Yeah, that's happened. To me.
Yeah.
It's happened to every male in America.
Yeah.
Hey, it's happened to me too. I mess up gravy.
Yeah,
go away, I'll fix the gravy.
Yeah, you're sort of a quantum gravy maker.
I don't know. Sometimes it ends up spectacular and sometimes, oh my God, it's burnt and clumpy.
But there's like absolutely, it's weird. There's absolutely
been
no
nine
middle ground.
Good band names in the last 30 seconds. Quantum gravy maker. Sometimes it ends up good. Weird and clumpy.
Yeah, I'm like that with anything with eggs in it, really. Well, I mean, like, where eggs are a major component. Either it's fantastic or it stinks.
Welcome Sam away from the frittata.
Welcome to Cooking with Ask an Atheist with Sam Mulvey. 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. We're going to go to a break, and when we come back, we're going to continue the conversation about movies.
If you enjoy the programming we create on Ask an Atheist, please make a contribution with us. Your sponsorship keeps our show in the air and improves the quality of our broadcasts. Don't make us beg. Please go to askanatheist.tv and contribute today.
48 hours. 24 hours. 10 minutes to go.
The motorcade appears to have stopped, and yes, it appears as though the governor is getting out now. It's hard to see. My God, the rain is coming down in sheets. I've never seen anything like this. There must be tens of thousands of people out here right now. The streets are shut down. Okay, it appears the governor is making his way toward the convention center. No one knows what he's going to say. The crowd is pushing forward through the storm. The Secret Service is struggling to hold them back. A wave of people are rushing toward the candidate. My God.
Zero. For your consideration, we present Convention and its subject, the nominee. ANNEXRadio.com. Now on iTunes and Stitcher.
Hey, podcast listeners.
Did you know that Ask an Atheist with Sam Mulvey is a radio show?
Radio waves and everything.
If you know of a radio station that could benefit from Ask an Atheist in your area, let us know.
And don't forget to let the station know you'd love to hear us.
So to help us humanize atheists in mass media, email us at stations@askanatheist.tv.
So, picking you up at 8 tonight?
Sure.
How do I get to your place again?
Get off the freeway, turn left at the burger joint, past the Humanist Center, right at the...
What? Humanist Center?
Yeah, you know, the place where freethinkers have their meetings, hold events, access the resource library, drop their kids off for daycare.
This could be you and your friends in the near future. Contribute to the Humanists of Washington Humanist Center Fund to establish a physical home for freethinkers in the Puget Sound. Go to humanistsofwashington.org and contribute today. That's humanistsofwashington.org.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. And okay, I said it was movies, but I thought this was going to be a movie, but now that I'm actually reading the news brief, it's not. A new production company has acquired the rights to the book, to the A.J. Jacobs book, The Year of Living Biblically. Al-Qaid Baba Productions, brainchild of Big Bang Theory star Johnny Galecki, bought the rights to the book with the intention of turning it into a 30-minute weekly show. The 2009 book is an account of the year Jacob spent trying to live following all of the rules and tenets of the Bible as literally as possible. The show is currently in search of a writer, with Galecki planning to be an executive producer.
So I'm thinking sitcom, if it's 30-minute show, right?
Yeah, 30-minute weekly show, that screams sitcom.
I'm thinking reality show, where you make a person follow all the rules of the Bible.
Oh, that would be...
For a week, and then next week, just some other rando person has to follow all the rules of the Bible.
Would you have a running tally of all the, you know, laws?
Well, the interesting thing about,
like,
the...
how much jail time you'd get for doing
year
that?
Year of Living Biblically book is that he couldn't do all of the rules at once, because it's impossible.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you can't follow one thing while simultaneously following another commandment.
For instance, it says in Matthew 6:5, don't pray in public, but says in a couple other verses, go ahead and pray in public. So...
Well, go ahead and pray in public and don't pray in public. I think you'd lean towards not, because one is noncommittal, the other one is.
Yeah.
So if you have one that says don't...
So in order to facilitate this project, he had to, you know, I'm going to do this one for this amount of time and that one for that amount of time and so on and so on. So I don't know where I was going with that.
So yeah, like a day timer today.
I think my favorite part
going
was
to the unclean hut
was how someone, well, along those kinds of lines a little bit, you know, it's, you have all the Levitical laws about who you're supposed to stone. And he was like, well, I'm not actually anti-LGBT, but I'm going to go and throw a pebble or kick a pebble at the shoes of a fornicator, right? Of someone in a public park that's like kissing his boyfriend. And it's like, yay, I've accomplished stoning of a homosexual.
I've always had the theory that the reason the majority of the population lives in the city is because biblical law says to stone people, but in the city you can't really find just loose rocks lying around. So you have to rent some hardware to get that project off the ground. So therefore, much safer to live in the city as a homosexual.
Well done.
Okay. Yeah. Becky, there was a story you really wanted to talk about because it has to do with education.
Yeah, the Omaha school board.
Yeah, more than 1,000 people showed up to a meeting by Omaha Public Schools on proposed changes to the district sexual health education curriculum. Abstinence-only activists circulated an error-filled flyer calling for demonstrators, who later disrupted the meeting, going so far as to accuse the district of conspiring with a Planned Parenthood ring. District officials clarified that Planned Parenthood has never been involved with district curriculum, and that the changes would include discussion on gender identity, sexual orientation, and contraception in more detail than the current comprehensive education plans, which haven't been updated in 3 decades.
Yeah.
30 years.
3 decades. So they're saying things like, hey, this is what emergency contraception is, because right now all they have is like oral birth control in their list of approved curricular materials, right? In terms of stuff to learn about. But here's the thing. You had 1,500 people show up. And because you have a mobilized group of activists that are screaming about the purity of their daughters, you know, they mobilize, they show up, and they overrun a public comment forum. We have tons of friends and contacts, yeah, that are within the secular community in Omaha, and several of them did go, shouted down, verbally, you know, confronted. And one of the more alarming reports is an LGBT group with their advisor were basically, you know, the advisor collected the students and left the room because of the people saying
their safety.
For fear of their safety, yeah, and for people saying that you are going to hell, you are abominations. I mean, that's why we need in middle school to talk about what does it mean to be kind to people, and people maybe asking different questions about their sexual orientation, about their identities. That's all that the school board's trying to do. And yeah, Nobody's had a problem with their current, you know, sex ed curriculum, which covers abstinence, birth control, you know, prevention, things like that, HIV education.
This is where the traction happens for me. This is where everything becomes clear, because you could say that they have a moral opposition to contraception. They have a moral problem with abortion. So they want to ban it. Okay, I get that. This, believe it or not, is different, because it's not about doing those things. It's about knowledge that these things even exist. They want to hide that from people. They want to pretend that it doesn't exist. They want you to know less than they do. This is about control. This is about nothing but control. This, they may be programmed to do this. They may be controlled themselves, but this is just propagation of these horrible social structures that cause a fair amount of the problems that we've been having in America in the last 500 years, even before we were a country, even.
Yes.
And Yeah, this isn't about banning it because it's immoral. You know, you're not allowed to know about this. This is information that you can't have.
There's no excuse, and you shouldn't be able to hide behind your religion to be involved in an angry, bullying mob threatening children because
right.
of their sexual orientation. I don't
Absolutely.
Care what you believe. You know, if you have a point, write it down or speak it, but you do not need to be frightening people, especially people younger than you, and just, oh my goodness, how does a school board meeting accommodate 1,500 people?
Held in a vast auditorium, and it was billed as a public comment forum on the proposed changes. You know, I mean, all you have to do is mobilize your ring of speaking of rings, right? There's no Planned Parenthood ring that's out there to try and, you know,
children. Well, not to poison your pure children, but what would be the problem? I think Planned Parenthood would be a good source of information to actually touch on this curriculum and have an equal voice with the crazy fundamentalist groups things. I believe they employ things called doctors.
Yeah, I actually have taught in public school systems that coordinate with Planned Parenthood for elective after school, like girls' circle groups, to go through educational modules to help educate and give knowledge about what kind of choices you can make about your life and your health.
Yeah.
So I tend to be with you. I think it's a good thing to say, no, this curriculum is independently, you know, designed, and, you know, we're just updating it because our medical knowledge and the available options have changed over the last 30 years.
Mm-hmm. It's very strange because in the last 20 years, we've had a lot of states go to abstinence only education rather than we're going to explain what happens, you know, how all of this works. But we're going to explain abstinence, which and it goes to a curriculum, which is confusing that it only talks about abstinence. And if that's all you're talking about, eventually somebody's going to ask the question, abstinence from what?
If they're not learning it at school, they're going to learn it somewhere else.
Right.
Because
and then they're going to go find out.
We live in an information age, and this is one of your base instincts right beyond eating and breathing and shelter.
Right.
Is to procreate. So they should get as much information as we know abstinence-only education does not work.
That's the thing. And having
one
that
one of the biggest advocates for it, Ms. Bristol Palin, is living proof that it doesn't work. Double times.
Yeah. That the thing here is when it's just we think we should tell them these. The thing with abstinence-only education is that there's a debate on what's actually the truth. But when it becomes withholding information, as somebody who works in information and as somebody who lives a little bit by the hacker ethic, that's just, you do not do that. That's when my morality is completely contravened.
Would you say this really gets on your pecs, Sam? This is one of those things.
This is one of those things that gets on my pecs. Yes, that is absolutely true.
I would say that I'm with you in that as an educator. It's just disgusting to see that kind of thing. And the thing that this has done is brought more attention to the possibility of even going further backwards. There's already the comprehensive sex education that just needs to be updated after 30 years. And they're now at risk of this huge outrage motivating people to take away comprehensive sex education and health education.
So I guess my question for you, Becky, is we live in a time now where access to information, to any information, has never been easier. Clearly, on some level, this is a Sisyphean task for them. But does that access to information really make it to students, say, in Omaha, Nebraska?
Not necessarily, because one of the things is that there is so much data and media that the information that is there is actually, you know, it takes some weeding through. And as we were talking earlier in the hour, your upbringing can influence your thought process. Of course it does. And if you're brought up with your mom screaming down a school board about the purity of you and how you're you know, influencing the purity of you, you're going to seek out information that confirms that particular thing, or you're going to see that information that confirms your upbringing. You might see information that contradicts it, but how are you going to be able to weed through it and react to it?
All right. Speaking as somebody with a bit of a subversive bent, Becky, if you wanted to sort of undercut these 1,500 people who are trying to bully people out of knowing things, how would you subversively teach these people? Like, what would be the process by which we could most help provide this data in a way that is understandable, is documentable, is citable, that sort of thing.
Ooh, that's...
Khan Academy type YouTube channel.
Yeah.
It's really tough. I mean, I think that that through the public school systems, I mean, sometimes you can do it by force, you know, just by like, all right, this is our directive right now. And that's like with the judge in Canada that says, nope, child, I don't care what you're doing.
I specifically mean outside of the school system, though.
Outside of the school system for the parents. It's a tough one, you know, and I don't work with the grown-ups. I don't work with the grown-up minds yet, you know?
Yeah. I think what this reveals on the part of the people opposed to updating the curriculum is a bone-deep distrust of children to be educated and then do the right thing with that information.
Right.
Which is kind of a religious idea of sorts, kind of how I was raised. Like, if you know too much, you'll make the wrong choices. It's just a...
Well, the very first story is...
eating from the tree of knowledge.
Yeah.
Bad mm-hmm. thing, dude.
Knowing things is bad.
That's, yeah, the first major plot hole in the Bible is that. Because eat from that tree, you'll die. Actually, no, it just tells you that lying is a sin, which is what God lied to you because he said you'd die. It's a weird...
And now you know it's
figure
wrong.
Figure eight, not of a plot hole. Yeah.
And that's all the time we've got for today. This is Ask an Atheist. I am Sam Mulvey. With me is Rebecca Friedman and Jeremy Whitman. Dave Brulette was my writer. You can go to askanatheist.tv for our website. Email us at questions at askanatheist.tv. Give us a voicemail at 844-753-7842. Twitter us at askanatheistwa. Right to the gate today. See you guys next week.